Hello and welcome to Ascend in Action, the podcast that celebrates the future of women in staffing and consulting, brought to you by Amoria Group. In this podcast, we'll be talking and tackling some of the key topics when it comes to women in staffing and consulting, from why we need more women and what we bring to the industry, to our role in tackling gender bias and empowering and supporting each other. Presented by the Progressing Lives Everywhere podcast, these conversations are designed to inspire, engage, and show how together we can fulfill our potential and progress our lives.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Ascend in Action podcast series, part of the Progressing Lives Everywhere podcast, brought to you by the Amoria Group. My name is Daisy McVeigh and I'm a talent attraction specialist here in Amoria Bond's Manchester office. I'm talking to Basma, who is the team manager of our advanced engineering in our Cologne office. So we're going to be talking about the power of personal branding and authenticity. So Basma, welcome. Do you want to start by telling us about your role at Amoria Bond and what you're responsible for?
Yes, thank you, Daisy. Hello from Cologne. You mentioned I'm the team manager in the Cologne office, responsible for the DE contract engineering team for the advanced engineering German office.
Perfect. And obviously within this podcast, we're going to be discussing the power of personal branding and authenticity. And we caught up and obviously discussed different things regarding this. And it was really interesting hearing the difference between what it means to us in our roles, in our locations. What does personal branding mean for you in your role, Basma?
So I know that's very common that people talk about this topic. And as I'm working in the engineering market, it's not common that I use it on the social media. So for me, personal branding, or actually I have a motto, it's like creating a brand without asking for it. So the people know for what you stand without actually saying it. You know what I mean? So the motto is here actually to create a brand as a team leader at the office or the team. But it's not more, or it's not that I'm doing it on social media. It's more internally in the team or how I lead. This is more for me. Yeah, this is a topic for me when I talk about personal branding.
You know, that leads on to my next question. Does the meaning of personal branding, you know, stretch out further to you than just social media for you and your team? You know, how do you guys implement it or how do you teach it?
Of course, there are other opportunities to stand for the branding or to have like personal branding. As I said, the question starts with who I am and as what I want to people to see me. So for me as a leader, I create values in my team. And of course, it's also important to live them. The brand that I'm standing for should somehow connect also to the values of Amoria Bond, because this is what makes me successful here. Starts already in the interview process when I want to hire someone, because of course you can just check or already have a feeling of the values that the person brings in. And I'm clear that everyone has his own touch of or importance of some values and goals, but I should be able to live somehow a connection between me and the team member in order to meet the company's goals, but also to make the people successful in my team. So this all aligns somehow also with the inspiration that I have, but also with the strategic goals of the company, but also on my own goals. And I think once you have a clear picture of what's important for you or what's important for the team, you or I need to make myself visible, because that means that I show interest in my people as a leader and I listen to them. I care about how they see stuff or their problem. There is a potential where I can create a high potential team or a team of engaging people and encouraging people to be together a successful team at Amoria Bond. So actually, if I can summarize this, it's about being able to articulate my own brand and what I'm standing for, so people know who I am and what I'm standing for, but also can build their own personality in this team and to be authentic. And this is the way how I can build relationship in my team in order to reach their goals, but also my goal.
And what sort of values do they look like then? You know, what sort of values do you want to get across in your personal brand to both, you know, your candidates and your clients and, you know, your colleagues as well?
The people who know me, they know I have high standards, not only personally, but also professional. So I demonstrate high standards in the team, but also in the people. That means that I also have high expectations. So when you come and want to join my team, they always say in the beginning, oh, Basma has high expectation. We need to meet them. It's very hard. High standards, high values, that means that I want to take all the potential from you to be better, because I believe that you can always reach somehow your limit and create something awesome from it. So one value is, yeah, high standards and high expectation from myself, but also from the others that are my team. And the other part is, which is very important for me, honestly, and to be still a human being. Because when you're a human being and have a high standard, you mix them up, you get a personality that cares, but also will not stop to be successful. That's the other part. Cares about others in the team, but also about the client and candidate. In the same time, high potential or high standards to reach the goal. So these are the most nice values that we have. And third one, fun. I'm a big fan to have a lot of fun in the team. As a leader, I'm a very straightforward leader, but at the same time, when I see there's a moment, a funny moment, I really would like to take it. So everyone is like, okay, we can laugh, we can breathe, just enjoy the work. And people don't believe it. When I'm on holiday, I miss my team members. I miss being here because I miss like this one who's saying words like this or maybe sentences like this. So these are the values that I'm living here at Amoria Bond.
Good. And I think, you know, by the sounds of it, you know, your values tie in really well to just being purely authentic. I think, you know, recruiters have that outdated perception that, you know, it's all about the money and it's all about, you know, it's a dog eat dog environment. And, you know, I think, you know, especially being a woman, you know, that I know a few people, you know, in my career that have maybe faced prejudice, you know, being in a male dominated industry, but that hasn't stopped them from being authentic. And I think it's so important when you're up against these perceptions that, you know, have been around for years and years that, you know, if you're in recruitment, then, you know, you don't care about the people, you only care about the money. And, you know, if you're a woman, then you're not going to be able to, you know, recruit for engineers and things like that. So it all ties into, you know, being authentic as well. And you know, how important, you know, do you find being authentic as a woman in recruitment? Like, is it actually necessary to, you know, emphasize being a woman in this industry? Have you faced any sort of issues that you wouldn't face unless you're a woman?
For me, I think everyone should be authentic. It doesn't matter in which market or which environment you're working, because we're trying to sell people to people. It makes you more successful if you are authentic. They can trust you and they believe what you are selling them. You're selling them emotions, personality, skills. And if you're sitting there and you're not authentic, so why should they believe you or why should they trust you? That's the one. And the second question, as if I experience something different as a woman, of course you need to convince more, or you need to show that you can work, or you can deal with all the engineers, or you can deal with objections. Of course, you need to convince more, but I don't see such a big difference to say that the man can be easier successful in this area than woman, because as a woman, you need to know what you want first, but also you need to know that this job is not easy, but this job is also for a male person not easy. And if you stand for your values, no one can cross them. So everyone at Amoria Bond knows, okay, this is the limit from Basma. I cannot cross them because this is what her personality stands for. And the same is with the clients. If they say something, they don't appreciate my work, then I need to tell them this is what I did. And now you're saying you don't want to have my service. Let me give you a picture. And if you keep doing this work, then managers or whatever clients, they don't recognize you as a woman. It's just your job. And this is a key message. I don't want that people see a woman working there. I want them to see my work, because this is at the end the important part, and not if I'm a woman or a man.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you've obviously progressed, you know, so far up our progression ladder already and have had, you know, such big success within the business. And, you know, a lot of that comes from, you know, how authentic that you are as a person and, you know, being able to have those difficult conversations with people and how you've built out a team where, you know, you teach them those same values and that same personal brand. And, you know, in terms of being authentic, how do you teach that authenticity down to your team if they're learning from you?
That's a very good question, because this morning I had a conversation with one of my rookies where he always tried to do it on his own way. You know, you teach them the basics, but they still try it on their own way before trying your way. Actually, it's not my way, it's Emoria Bonds. I answer the question very easily. I teach them the basics. I don't teach them Basma's way. I teach them what Emoria Bonds shows us, because this is how I learned. They are basics. They need to learn it. And afterwards, when they know the job, when I can say, okay, you know the job, you know how to do it, then put your personality into it, because then you're authentic, you're then funny, you can do the job with more fun. But learn first and then adapt some characteristic in your sales part and the candidate part, or maybe closing. That's something where I still let them be flexible with it, because, yeah, as I said, you need to be authentic. Otherwise, people will not buy from me. And in my team, not even one person is the same like others. And if you see us, you will say, Basma, how you handle it? Because there's so many different characters, but all successful somehow. And sometimes I wonder how, because I don't work like this. Why is the person working like this? But it's working. So it's all about teach them the process and the basic, but let them also be the person that they are, because then it's a lot of fun and they can be successful. And it's not just a mask that they're wearing, you know what I mean? Especially as we're a salesperson. So you cannot survive if you act like you are one of them. You can only survive if you live what you're standing for.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think, you know, so many people will come into recruitment and, you know, they'll pick things up off different people around them in the office. And then, you know, the people that really have that success are the people that don't just, you know, copy what they're doing, but they actually make it their own, which, yeah, I mean, it's been really important for me. I mean, even, you know, there's been times where, like, you know, I've heard, when I first got into recruitment, like, I heard, you know, what some people were saying on the phone. And then I was like, yeah, I can say that, but I'm going to, you know, make it better and make it more my own. And then it paid off. And then you hear other people listening to the stuff that you say. So it's funny how it all passes down, but the people that have the most success are, you know, the ones that are authentic. You know, they are recognized for, you know, the personality and the way that they are. And it's good that you're teaching your team, like, look, do this. Obviously, Emoria Bond, you know, we're a very process-driven company. So, you know, follow the process, do this. But then also, you know, don't just copy me because I'm successful. You know, make it your own as well. And I think, you know, so many times within recruitment, you know, that may not be taught. It'll be more like, you know, if you just copy me and follow me and, you know, I'm one of the top billers and, you know, I've had success doing this. So if you do this, then you'll be there too. Then that person's going to have, you know, a really harsh reality check when it might not work the same for them. So it's good that you're implementing that already with your rookies, because, you know, I know, like, from experience that, you know, there'll be times where, you know, you are told to, you know, do certain things and follow what certain people do, but you need to make it your own always, like, always within recruitment, because, you know, it's all about relationship building, as we know. So how can you build relationships if you aren't your authentic self?
It's also a thing that as a leader, we shouldn't be in the focus that people want to be like us. That's not my main goal. My goal is to see that the people are successful, of course, with my help, but I don't want them to have the goal to be like me. Because this is, first of all, a lot of pressure on myself to be perfect, as no one can be perfect. No one can be, has everything. They should focus on themselves. And I'm only a tool to help them to become this person. But they shouldn't see me as the main goal. That's a picture that I don't want to give. And I also don't like it when they say, it's all because of you. I got it because of you. And I always say, no, it's because of your work. I'm only a source or resource that you're using, but nothing more and not less. So that's what I try to teach. And I also give them examples. When you get a parent, I mean, I don't have kids, so I cannot feel it, but I have siblings and I know imagine that the mother will say to every kid, yeah, just be like me, just live the life that I live, go study, go do this, don't go do this. So they cannot create their own personality and imagine a world like this. That would be crazy. But they get the basics, they give the values, they teach you how you survive in this environment to be a strong person. But you define yourself, and that should be also here. But I know it's not always like this. I know. So that's how I try to work and how I try to lead my people.
No, definitely. And I think it's so important to implement that and not just teach them to do what you do, because that's what works for you. And, you know, on the other hand, you know, when could you think of like an example where, you know, you've been authentic and, you know, you've done it, you know, Basma's way, and, you know, it hasn't worked out the way you wanted to, or, you know, there's been a time where you felt disadvantaged by being authentic?
Hard question. I think more on the candidate side, because I'm working with contractors, and I always believe it's good to be honest, to be transparent and honest. And I had one example where I told the candidate, hey, I'm honest with you. This is what the client wants. Can't remember exactly the same topic or what it was, but I thought that my honestly or my authentic person will lead that the candidate said, you know what, I'm thankful that you're telling me this. Of course, we can go further and work together. It worked out that he ghosted me. He didn't call me at all. And a month ago, afterwards, it turned out that he worked with the client then directly, because I told him the truth. He then said, oh, okay, then I'm going to work directly with the client. This is why he ghosted me. But a month afterwards, I just find it out. And there were a moment where I thought, okay, next time I need to try to, identify the situation, how I can be transparent, or how I can talk to the candidate, or which information should I give, and so to not be in this situation again. But I'm honest, it didn't happen so often that it didn't work out. It was actually the opposite. When I was not authentic, or I tried to be a person that I'm not living, then something went wrong.
No, it catches up on you, doesn't it?
Yes. So, and like, for example, my chef always tells me, I can read it. I see it on your face when you try to hide something, or when you don't say the truth, or when you want to say something but you don't say it because you don't know how to hide it. I can't not be authentic, not even my face, not my words. I cannot do it. And if I am, you can tell, okay, now we got a problem.
Yeah. But I think, you know, that is a really good trait to have within recruitment, because as I said, there's such an outdated perception that, you know, all recruiters are dishonest, and, you know, actually being in the position that you're in where, you know, you always know, you know, what's up with you, or, you know, whether you're being authentic or not. And I think that's such a good trait to have within this industry, and, you know, exactly why you have had so much success. I mean, especially within, you know, the engineering markets, which again are very typically male dominated, you know, both for recruiters to recruit in that sector, but also as well the engineers within that sector as well.
Yeah, you can face problems without any problems because you don't think a lot about, should I ask the question, or what do they feel if I ask it? So if you're authentic, or you cannot hide it, then you automatically ask the question because you can't do any other. And it's important in this section. Engineers are less emotional. Like, they only talk about the topics, the different objection, and they say it's like this and this. And as a woman, you automatically have more emotions. Yeah, you always connect emotion to any topic you have. Of course, I learned to reconnect it, but still, I can always say what I think. So it's not for me hard to say, hey, Mr. Client, that was not okay. We lost the candidate because you needed more time. How we do it in the future? So it's not hard for me to do it because that's what I think. And when I think this, I can't stop my mouth saying it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, another thing with authenticity is in recruitment, there's so many difficult conversations that you need to have. People, you know, even just things like rejecting a candidate, you know, for a job they were hopeful for, or when a client comes to you and they say, you know, we're looking for this, 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 and this, and, you know, you then have to go to them, and, you know, you could either say, oh yeah, I'll find it, and overpromise too much, or you could say to them, look, we aren't going to be able to find what you're looking for. So yeah, that's another thing that I think definitely, you know, really requires authenticity within this industry, because there's so many difficult conversations that you need to have.
Yeah, or maybe sometimes when the client asks for something and you convince him to take something different because that's not good for him, maybe that means that he's not buying from us. But you know what? Maybe in this situation, he's not buying from us. But in 2 or 3 months, he will call you because you showed him, I am here to meet your needs, not my need. I'm here to meet your needs. And this is also authenticity. So you're telling him, don't take this. That's not good for you. I recommend you to do something different. And he will remember this.
And there's so many people that would just sort of take that as, you know, face value and be like, right, I'm not going to bother this person again. With the markets that we recruit in, so obviously advanced engineering and renewable energy, as you said, you know, these people tend to be, you know, a lot less emotional. And that's why, you know, the people that we have in the business, you know, being their authentic selves, that's why they have had so much success. And finally, you know, what do you see for the future of personal branding and being authentic within recruitment? And, you know, what steps are you going to take to stay ahead of the curve?
When I think on the next step, of course, living the values that we already have, but it's very important that when my goal is to grow in the team, to always have sessions where we talk about those topics, like when we come together. So I listen, I mentioned it's important for me also to listen to them to understand what their goals are or values in order to adapt maybe my values. It's not changing them, but also adapting a new picture from the whole team as I'm growing. So it's not only about me, it's about the team. That's something that I want to change as I want to grow my team. Other than that, it's very interesting because I'm giving other team members more responsibilities so they can grow and build their own small team. So it's like building a new brand internally in my own team, which is new. It's very challenging for me because then there's one person who wants to say, this is my team, these are my values, and we need to work to understand, okay, is it for the whole team, also the values that we're living. So as you can hear, a lot of challenges right now, just to see how it's going to work because I'm growing. But these are the main topics, actually.
Yeah. And that's something that we've implemented as well, is having those regular sessions where you can, you know, bounce ideas off each other and, you know, really not just, you know, stick to your own way and what you do, but also hear, you know, what other people are doing to improve their personal brand. And yeah, you know, we've had some really good successes so far from doing that. So I would recommend anyone, you know, within recruitment, within a team, and you're struggling for ideas on, you know, how to stretch your personal brand out, you know, further than, you know, just the standard, you know, LinkedIn presence, but also your personal brand with your clients, with your candidates and your reputation within the market, to, you know, have these ideas bounced off each other with your team and, you know, really check in, you know, whether it's every 2 weeks or every month or, you know, however often it is. I definitely recommend doing that because, yeah, we've had great success so far within that. But yeah, that's all the time that we have for today, unfortunately. Basma, thank you so much for sharing your insights and experiences with us. It was so great, obviously, catching up with you. And obviously, yeah, if you're looking to start a career in recruitment or want to learn more about the industry, be sure to check out amoriabond.com or reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Basma.
Thank you for listening to Ascend in Action, brought to you by Amoria Group. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a review. Every time you do, it helps others to find the show. Amoria Group are committed to walking the talk, and through our recruitment brand, Amoria Bond, and consultancy, Coalesce Management Consulting, we work hard to create a positive and inclusive environment for everyone. For further details on Amoria Group and how we are progressing lives everywhere, head over to amoriagroup.com. See you next time.